Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be reading from verse 12 on through verse 20. And I have entitled the message like this: Bought with a Price, an Exposition. In other words, we're going to be dealing with a text that we might use in a number of different ways. Not that we'll depart from the context, but I give you an illustration example. Some of you might remember that we preached from this text using it and presenting the fact of what does it cost to save a sinner. What does it cost to save a sinner? But I want to just take the text in context today and just do an exposition of this thought today of being bought with a price. And it'll be evident as we look into it. Let's take a moment, pray, then we'll read from verse 12 on through verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Father, it's my privilege to stand again in this place. And Father, I understand and realize the significance of the privilege that's mine to read the Word and preach the message. And I'm going to ask, Father, that you'll enable me to preach like I ought to preach this morning. Do a good job, not for my glory, but for Christ's glory. Father, I thank you for the privilege that's mine to be able to just take this time and to challenge the hearts and lives of the folks that are here in this place today. Again, we ask that our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted and honored and glorified, for I pray in His precious name. Amen. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise up us also by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? Or two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in our text that we've read today, Paul has come to a discourse on the use of the body. We have to keep in mind the historical setting of the church in Corinth, of course, and realize that as this church in its infancy and under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and others as well for a time flourished well, did good. But then there seemed to be a falling away, and there were divisions that came into that church, and the church grew lax in a lot of areas. And yet, Paul points out that there is a need to understand the place of the body and God's purpose and God's plan for these bodies. Sometimes we take it too lightly and indifferently because we look oftentimes just in the light of eternity and the benefit of the salvation of the soul. But we do have a responsibility while we're here on planet Earth to live to the glory of God. And Paul is dealing with the uses of the body. The moral situation was not as it ought to be in the city of Corinth and in that church at the time that Paul wrote to them. He points out that the body is not for fornication, but it is for the Lord. Now, what did he mean by the body is for the Lord? Well, understand that God made it determination and a plan, and his plan is to inhabit mankind. You see, there is that precious truth of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. God intended to walk on planet Earth in this human instrumentality for the time that we're here. The body is for the Lord. It's to be to His glory. And He points out why, because we've been bought with a price. The body's for the Lord. It's by God's design. He's chosen to use human instrumentality. It's amazing why God would do it and how God would choose to use man. God could have chosen to use angels, and they do a good job. Whenever you read of an angel that's sent with a particular message to a particular party or persons, that the angels would do a good job. But in the case of Cornelius, a man that needed to hear the gospel, God sent an angel and said, you need to send over to Joppa, the house of Simon the Tanner, and ask for one Simon Peter. He said, he'll come and tell you how to be saved. Basically, that's summarizing it in a nutshell, that God chose to use the apostle Peter to bring the message and to, if you please, open the door of grace to the Gentiles. He chose to use human instrumentality. And the discussion is the use of the body in the text that we have before us. He goes into a very serious presentation here, how that our bodies are to be members and are members of Christ, and they're not to be abused and used in an immoral sense. They that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. And we need to consider this matter as we see it in our text today. Thus we put the message, the title of the message, Bought with a Price, an Exposition. I want to give you 3 points in our message today. First of all, the first thought is, consider the blessed fact. Consider the blessed fact. The simple statement. You're bought. You're bought. The truth of the matter is, you and I were sold into the slave market of sin. That's true, that this Bible teaches this morning, that we were sold into the slave market of sin. There is a very clear presentation of this in the life of an Old Testament prophet. Hosea, this Old Testament prophet, was one who had taken a wife, and she proved unfaithful and left him. After some time had elapsed, God said, now, I want to teach Israel a lesson. He said, Hosea said, you go and you take that wife unto you again. And he went down and he bought her from the slave market where she was. You talk about a beautiful picture. We that had no recourse, we had nothing that we could offer for our own redemption, but our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come into this world and to redeem us, to literally buy us unto Himself. So, being sold into the slave market of sin, Paul said, now you've been bought with a price. Redemption, as we consider this blessed fact, is a source of obligation. If something is redeemed, it is to do the will of the purchaser. I'll try to put it in a simple illustration here for you this morning. Most of you are aware of the fact that I'm rather partial to driving an old pickup truck rather than a car. It just suits me better. It's from my background as well as just the fact that I kind of like to sit up above the rest of the traffic. But I bought this old truck that sits out here in the front under the shade of that oak tree this morning. I redeemed it. It was put on the market. And I redeemed it, and I redeemed it with a purpose, with an intent that it serve me. That it do what I had purchased it for. You and I today, in a far greater sense, in a spiritual sense, have been bought with a price. Consider that with redemption, and redemption is a source of obligation. If something is redeemed, then you buy it for that purpose. don't want to hurt your feelings, ladies, but you buy all those cosmetics to make you look better. And hopefully they'll serve the purpose. I'm not opposed to that. And I'll be in trouble all day. But you understand, with redemption, you buy something, you redeem it for a purpose. It's on the market. And you redeem it to serve you, to do something for you. Even if it is to be a gift to another. You've redeemed it that you might give it to another. We have a greater obligation in redemption than we do in creation. We have a great obligation to God just because we are His creatures. Understand that. But we as His creatures in Adam one day stood in a place of innocence. But a race was plunged into sin by the transgression of Adam, for by one man sin entered into the world and death passed upon all men, for in that all have sinned. And thus, God then could have left it alone as it was. But He chose in infinite love to give His Son to come into this world by way of the virgin's womb, to live sinless and die vicariously on an old rugged cross, to redeem us from our lost estate. And we've been redeemed today. We've been bought with a price. Oh, this morning, we need to consider the blessed fact. We have a greater obligation in redemption even than we do in creation, because He redeemed us from our lost, our fallen estate. Then let's think, as we consider the blessed fact, that it was with a price. We need to and have to look at the tremendous cost that God was willing to put forth for us. The Bible tells us that the Father gave the Son, and the Son gave Himself, and it's all of Himself. There's nothing that you and I could do to make our purchase of ourselves. But God, in His infinite wisdom, had planned salvation and preached on it just a few weeks ago. The text out of 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, that we might realize the greatness of the cost of the sinner today. Consider this fact. Consider this blessed fact. We're either redeemed or we're not redeemed. Either redeemed or we're not redeemed. There is no neutral ground today. Now, you and I have not the privilege of standing in a neutral place, even as Adam did. But you and I either are in Adam or we are in Christ. When you read in the Bible that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed on all men. And then we come across that passage said, in Adam all men died, or all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What we need to see is the picture that God wants us to see, that every son of Adam is included in the declaration of sinner. On the other hand, everybody that's in Christ, not everybody in Adam, but everybody that's in Christ, is made alive, have been redeemed. We've been bought with a price, but there's no neutral ground. There's not some place in here we can stand and say, well, I'm not on either side. We're on one side or the other. Either you're saved or you're lost this morning. That's the truth of the Word of God. If it is a fact, it is the greatest fact of your life. I don't want to sound harsh this morning, but I've heard folks give testimony and they'd speak of salvation as only a casual thing. No great importance. In fact, years ago I heard a fellow, as he tried to introduce his testimony, talk about, well, somewhere in the past something happened and now I'm standing here before you today. Well, I want you to know that if you're saved this morning, if salvation is a fact of your life, if you've been bought with a price, that's the greatest fact in your life. the greatest fact in your life. I know what it is to stand on the other side. And most of you do too. You know what it means to stand on the other side. To be lost. To be a worldling. Even to be dead in trespasses and in sin. And then to be made alive in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest fact. The greatest thing to ever happen to me. And there's a lot of good things that have happened to this preacher. I want you to understand that. I'm not bemoaning the course of my life. God's been good to me. But I tell you what, the greatest day in my life is May the 23rd, 1966, when God saved my soul and brought me out of my darkness into the light of the gospel. If it is true in your life today, it's the greatest fact of your life. If it is a fact this morning, it will remain a fact. It'll not change. Thank God today for the grace of God that can take an unworthy sinner, save him, and keep him saved. The Bible said we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that day. If it is a fact in your life today, it'll remain a fact in your life. First thought, consider the blessed fact. Now, secondly, let's look into this thing a little farther this morning and consider the plain consequences of this fact. You're bought with a price. You are not your own. There is privilege that is involved in this. I hope you realize today, if you're bought with a price, the plain consequences are that you're not your own. The privilege involved, at least in part, is that we're not our own provider today. One has undertaken for you. One has provided salvation for you. And you have a loving Father that has promised to provide the very needs of your life and the security of your soul today. You're not your own provider. That's a plain consequence of this fact. You're not your own. We're not our own guide, by the way. Most folks today are making their choices based on what they want to do, or what, if I were speaking personally, what I want to do. But the truth of the matter is, it's what God wants you to do that really matters. You're not your own guide through life. You might have plans to be wealthy someday. I'm kind of like the fellow said, I'm working on my second million. I gave up on the first one. That's not much of a plan for me today. But do you realize that you're not your own guide? That may not be the goal that God has set for your life. I tell you what, there's more important things in life when we look at the opportunity to serve God. I want to just say it so that you'll understand how I feel. I believe that preaching the gospel is the greatest privilege ever been afforded to a man. Just to be able to serve him today. We're considering the plain consequences. You're not your own. You're not your own guy. It does involve responsibility. Let me give you a few thoughts. You're not your own to harm yourself. You have no right, as one who has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, to abuse the body that you're in. You don't have a right to harm yourself. You're not your own to waste. We're taught in the Word of God that there are responsibilities. Now, I believe that God in His own providence and in His wisdom does give us sometimes just a rest, but that's not a waste. Sometimes we have to come aside, as the Lord said to His disciples, and rest a while. And yet that's not wasted time. But to literally just claim time and waste it, it's not our privilege today, because we've been bought with a price, and we're not our own. The Apostle Paul said to the folks of Ephesus to redeem the time because the days are evil. Christian, you'll have to work to keep that time clear so that you won't waste it on something that you ought not be using at all, that you might glorify Jesus Christ in your life. It involves responsibility. You're not your own to waste. You're not your own to abandon to a botched life. You're not free to make the choices to live a debauched, depraved life. You're not your own to serve another master. In fact, the Lord said it's impossible to serve two masters today. Truth is, you're not your own to serve self. Final point this morning. Consider the practical conclusion. If you've been bought with a price and you're not your own, the practical, logical conclusion is that you're to glorify God. Does that not make sense? This is just a simple exposition of the text today. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirits. I want to deal with thought this morning for a few moments. As we think about glorifying God in your body, it could be in a suffering body. Study the book of 2 Corinthians and you'll find out that the Apostle Paul was given privilege upon privilege. He speaks of it as though it were another to start with, and he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. How that he was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw it, he heard things that it's not lawful for him to utter here on earth. He said, whether he was in the body or out of the body, he said, I can't really speak specifically that, but he said, I know it is the truth. You see, God does sometimes, did sometimes, pick up men. For example, Ezekiel, one time over in the Assyrian kingdom already, there in an encampment where the Israelites were held, was carried in vision back to the city of Jerusalem, given visions of scenes in the temple so that he'd understand the wickedness of the hearts of the people that had been brought into captivity and even that would be brought into captivity. And this man, Paul, he was given a thorn in the flesh because of that great privilege that he had. He said, I don't know whether it's in the body or out of the body, but he said, I do know this, that this happened. This is reality. And he said, I heard things that are not lawful for me to tell here on earth. I cannot repeat that which I've heard. And he said, then there was given me in the flesh, in the body, a thorn in the flesh to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. That I begin to think too highly. It was serious enough that he prayed about it. God said, quit praying about it. It'll not change. But he said, I'll give you grace to bear it. This morning, I say to you, consider the practical conclusion. You are to glorify God in your body. And it could be in a suffering body. I'd hope that it's not for your sake. But if it is, you're still to glorify God in it. As you think about this practical conclusion to glorify God in your body, it ought to be in a working body. Now, I'm talking about those of us who are physically able. We ought to be doing something as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. I'm persuaded that God has chosen to walk in this body today, to speak through this body today. Hey, it's well and good, and I encourage it. You leave a track wherever you can. But also, you speak to every person that you have the privilege of speaking to with this voice that God's given you in your body. Do you realize the truth that you are an ambassador for God here on earth today? What a privilege. Now, ambassador is one who just represents a nation in a foreign nation, in another place. And you and I, as citizens of heaven in this body here on earth today, are to glorify God. We are to work in this body. We are to represent heaven itself in this body. It ought to be in a worshiping body. Now, I realize that worship, as we would think of it in a genuine sense, must come from the heart. But there's not anything wrong with bowing knees to Jesus Christ. Sometimes you may even want to fall to your face before Jesus Christ. What, there were some great men of God that made a practice of their lives. Study the life of Daniel for a few moments. You'll find out that under a sentence of death, they said, you can't pray anymore. The only one you can petition is Darius, the king. He said, if you ask a petition of any other god or man, be cast into the den of lions. The Bible said Daniel went home, opened his window toward Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees and prayed three times a day as he had done aforetime. He didn't just start the practice that day, but it was a practice of his life of kneeling upon his knees and praying three times a day. David said, evening, morning, and at noon, will I pray and cry aloud. In a body, we are to worship God today. We ought to glorify God in a well-governed body today. Paul said this about his body. He said, I keep it under me. I bring it into subjection. And he said, the reason I do that is, lest after I preach to others, I myself be cast away. He's not talking about losing salvation. What he's talking about is losing the privilege of being a representative of God here on earth. He said, oh, that God would never put me on a shelf, that I might not be used, but rather in a well-governed body I might glorify God. In an obedient body, we're to glorify God. We're talking about just considering the practical conclusion, glorify God, and then glorify God in your spirit. There is that sweet inner fellowship that we really don't have time to go into this morning. But never neglect the privilege of prayer. Never neglect the privilege of personal devotion and Bible study this morning. It needs to be a vital part of our lives. It ought to be. You can draw your sustenance, your strength from the Word of God today and from the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as you come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The practical conclusion is glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Just a simple conclusion. Consider. Where do you stand this morning? Are you redeemed? Or are you lost? To those of us who have been redeemed, we have been bought with a price. If you've not been bought with a price today, you stand in great jeopardy today. All that you might, with a humble heart, thanksgiving spirit, turn to God in faith and call upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved today. Consider where you stand. Are you redeemed or are you lost? Let's stand together. Musicians, come and prepare the invitation number. Bow your heads with me for a moment. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for this privilege that's mine to read this passage and preach this message today. Father, I'm assured of the promise your word will not return unto you void. But there's a purpose for this message today and a plan in a lot of lives, but in particular, very well, maybe at least one life here today that is not redeemed. They stand on the ground of one who is unsaved. And I pray, precious Spirit of God, open that heart. Deal in that life so that they'd come trusting Christ this morning. Have your will and way in this invitation. We do not claim it as our own, but as yours, and present it unto the people, an opportunity to respond to your invitation. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In the precious name of Jesus.